The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord. Trinity Sunday is one where most of us priests just pray that we don't preach any heresy today. So here's to hoping that I do okay. But in all seriousness, the Trinity is one of the greatest and most important doctrines, the most important teachings of the Christian faith. That to put it as simply as possible, that God is one united being, but three distinct persons that we often call Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's hard for us to wrap our heads around of what exactly that means or why it's so important, but over the centuries of the church keeps butting up against this problem that with various teachings or heresies, they keep saying, no, it's so important that we maintain that God is always equal, but also that it's not homogeneous, it's not just the same. There are these three distinct persons always working in concert, always working in unity. And it can maybe frustrate us to maybe think about why that's such an important thing or to wrap our heads around what does it mean to be three in one, but one in three. But I think at the heart, it's simply the church saying that God is love. That even before there was creation, even before there were human beings, God is a union of love. And in order to have love in a relationship, you can't just have one united, one homogeneous being. You have to have at least two, or in the case of the Trinity, three, like two persons that love each other and the third that is the love between them. Usually we don't think of the love being personified as a person, but it is a real thing. It is a real thing to have that relationship. So too, the Trinity, even before anything was created, even before anything else existed, God is love. And that is a great mystery in our faith that can be hard to understand. But when the church uses the word mystery, it's really meant to draw us into understanding as much as we can. It's like in a bottomless well that we could always go to and draw more and new water from, but we're never going to get to the end of it. Brothers and sisters, that's the truth that the Trinity is, that the church wants to invite us into this Trinity Sunday. That we can discover not only God's love for us personally, but realize that that's actually an inexhaustible well. Something that we can always go back to over and over and over again. Not just because he has enough of it to give it away, but actually because God in his goodness and in his eternal nature always has some new way to show us his love and goodness. I think as we get older, as we grow up, anything that's new, we have a little bit of hesitation towards. It's not that we're not open to it, but at a certain age, we get to the point that we feel like we've experienced enough to kind of know what to expect. Whether we're going to a new place or experiencing something new and exciting, we might be looking forward to it, but we can kind of go, well, it's probably like this other thing that I did, or it's probably like this place that I've been to before, and I'm excited for that, but I kind of have some expectations. Whereas when we're younger, anything new is usually exciting because we don't know what to expect. When we go to a new place, it could be anything. It could be exactly like home and what I'm familiar with, or it could be completely different. But there's an excitement in that newness. And I actually think God in his goodness and his eternal nature in the Trinity is actually much more like a child. That in the Father looking at the Son and seeing the things that the Son does, the Father is always excited. He's always anticipating the new ways that the Son will show his love. Likewise, they both look at the Holy Spirit at work in the world, and they're almost excited to see the interesting ways that the Holy Spirit will bring about saints and show God's goodness and love in the world. That there's not a fear or anxiety about this new thing that's going to happen, like we might get as we get older and maybe a little bit more cynical with our experience of life. Instead, God, like a child, is excited to do it again, to see the new ways that it's going to happen, to experience this endless expression of love. Three in one, but always one in three. Brothers and sisters, what a beautiful way to think about this celebration of the Trinity. That it not only tells us something about God, but tells us about us because we're made in his image and likeness. That we too in ourselves and in our relationship with others, we're never meant to be created in isolation. Just a me and Jesus relationship that kind of ignores the world around me. But instead, it's always meant to be in relationship. And the hard part, I think, for us is that being in relationships with others is actually harder than if everything was the same. And if everything was just homogenous, everybody saw the world the same way, everybody understood where we were coming from and we understood them, that'd be an easy way to have unity. But instead in the Trinity, we see that even when things are different and distinct, even when things are unique, there can be a sense of unity. And a sense of understanding and love can bring those things perfectly together. Brothers and sisters, we're called to not only receive that love of the Trinity, but actually to imitate it in this life and in the heavenly kingdom. Because what we're called to is to be saints, is to be perfectly united to this vision of God. If you want to say, almost enter into that reality of three persons in one. That we notice the differences of others, whether it's the people we see around us or God himself. We don't see those as obstacles or reasons for division, but we see them as opportunities to come into union, to not ignore the differences, but to recognize them and out of love become united in them. That is what the Trinity does perpetually. That's what he invites us into in this life and in the heavenly kingdom. That for all eternity, we can draw from that bottomless well of love. That we can be excited to experience in new ways his love, to come to know God in new ways forever. But also on the flip side, to realize that he's going to know us and love us eternally. Think about it, it kind of makes sense that we would take all of eternity to understand God and to love him. There would always be new ways that we could see what he's done and to rejoice in his goodness. But actually, the church would say God does the opposite to us as well. That he actually gazes on us lovingly for all eternity, knowing us and almost being excited to learn new things about us, being excited to see how we will reveal his glory. Not probing us to see what things will get wrong or how we'll mess up, but always rejoicing in the goodness that he sees in us, in the ways that his image and likeness is shown forth in a unique and individual way in our person. Honestly, I think that's in some ways the scarier part of heaven. That I can understand me trying to work my way towards God and understand him. But knowing that God is looking me in that same way can almost be scary. Things that I'm like, okay, God, I would like to hide some stuff. I need to fix some stuff before you look that closely at me. But that's the reality and in some ways the difference between God's love and our love. Because our human love is typically in some ways conditional. That I'll love you as long as this happens or that happens or as long as I don't find something that's too objectionable. But God's love says, I'll love you even with those defects. I'll love you even with those things that seem undesirable and bad. Sure, he wants to purify them and change them, but that never changes his love for us. Brothers and sisters, let us thank God for that teaching of the Trinity. That we can understand that God is three in one and one in three. We don't have to be afraid of that mystery. We don't have to try to back away from it as if it's something that's going to cause us trouble or lead us into heresy. Instead, we can find it as an expression of God's essence, that God is love. Always loving within himself, always united even in the differences between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that he actually wants to draw us into that eternal mystery. That not only does he keep that love to himself, but he wants to love us in a similar way. So so that we can love everything about him and he can eternally gaze upon us and find the goodness deep within our souls. Because the Trinity is simply that expression that that is who God always is. That God is love. To conclude, I want to steal some words from St. Paul. These words of him describing love that we often read at weddings. We think about it as how we're called to love well. We want to replace the word love with God. To help us to realize that in the Trinity, that God being love means that he is all of these things. All of these things eternally within himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But also that his love is this towards us, both in this life and in the heavenly kingdom. God is patient. God is kind. He is not jealous. God is not pompous or inflated. God is not rude. He does not seek its own interest. It is not quick-tempered. It does not brood over injury. God does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. God bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. God never fails. Brothers and sisters, may this celebration of the Holy Trinity draw us into that love of God the Father, so that in this life we can rejoice in the love he shows us, and for all eternity, love him and be loved by him.